two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Live, Mike. How do young voters view this presidential election? We're going to speak with the president of Young Democrats of Utah in just a moment. And after the break, we'll move over to the other side of the aisle and speak with Abe Vasquez, chairman of the Utah Young Republicans, to see how young voters are responding here in Utah. In Florida, North Carolina, Maine, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, early votes cast by the youth have already exceeded the 2016 margin of victory in that state's presidential race. You got that? More than 5 million young people, those are folks aged 18 to 29, have already voted either early or by absentee in this 2020 election, including nearly 3 million in 14 key states that very well may decide the presidency. And this is an important one to focus on. We don't have a race like this happening here in Utah, but the Senate is up for grabs. Let's not forget about the Senate in Utah. In the last presidential election, that is in 2016, 520,000 people between the ages of 18 and 29 voted here in Utah. That's just about 27% of voters here in the state, higher than the national average of 21.6% for that same age group. A graduate student at Barry University, Mateo Gomez, questioned Joe Biden at a town hall on ABC News earlier this month.
If you win in November, there will be a 56-year age gap between you and myself. My generation, Generation Z, is growing up with school shootings, police brutality, and protests, and the inability to earn a livable wage, even when holding advanced degrees like myself. How can someone like yourself, an older white male, represent my generation over the next 4 years? And please, Vice President Biden, can you guarantee me that the American dream still exists?
Remember that from the town hall? Were you satisfied by former Vice President Joe Biden's response? You have to decide. Joining me now on the program is Joel Scurria, president of Young Democrats of Utah. Joel, welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
First off, before we get into some of the questions I have for you, describe your organization and how does one come to be in a leadership position within Young Democrats of Utah?
So I think it's like most positions. You know, if you do the work, you end up getting recognition, getting some praise, and kind of reaching folks and meeting folks. And I started out as vice president of Young Democrats of Utah, and a vacancy opened, and I was voted in by the board.
And what do you do? What are your duties? What are the objectives of the office and the organization?
So the objectives of the office and the organization are to partner with county caucuses to help get out the vote, to help support and scaffold campaigns. We have folks working in different caucuses as well that align with us kind of in terms of our platforms. The Women's Caucus and Black Caucus, for example. So we have a lot of crossover between a few different organizations in the state. And it's really just it's one of the organizations that is – associated, we're a chartered unit of Young Democrats of America, and we kind of coordinate efforts in both a local to kind of national sense.
Very good. So that's the organization. That's the background. That's the foundation upon which we're standing today. Tell me this. What are the What are the concerns, you think, that are leading young voters to the polls this election?
So I think a few critical ones. You know, increasing income inequality that we've seen, you know, over the years. Stagnating wages. I mean, we're the most educated, we're the most kind of educated voting demographic relative to previous years, to the past years, and we're on pace to make less in our lifetimes than our parents' generation, which is, you know, that's in terms of thinking, in terms of, you know, a positive sum game, the fact that we can have growth and it be kind of shared, this growth be shared with young folks. I don't think we're seeing that with our generation. And I think it's causing some distress because housing costs are rising, education costs are rising, healthcare costs are rising. And you're having folks that are becoming more and more vulnerable. And especially in the climate that we're in now, you know, we need assurances, you know, we need more assurances and more protections for our young people.
And young people, as they head to the polling places or you know, fill out the ballots they mail in, when they look for answers, at least from your position, as they look for answers, they find that in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I believe so. In terms of wanting to create, you know, to kind of, you know, address kind of existential threats to our environment, addressing the climate crisis in terms of addressing, the mass amount of student loan debt that's accruing, to address, you know, increasing housing costs and to address, you know, all these systematic social issues, these structural issues that are facing, you know, the American public today.
Sure. For many in the younger age groups, there will be a first-time voting experience. It may be the first time they voted in a presidential election. What do you, from your position and as an organization, what advice do you give these first-time voters?
My advice is to obviously don't just post on social media. You know, don't just be consumed with the information of people that think like you. Don't get too consumed with your kind of information bubbles. Start reaching out to folks and having conversations, reaching across the line, you know, party lines, having discussions, talking about issues that really matter to you. You know, we tend to be more convincing speakers if we're talking about something we're passionate about. So find an issue that you're really passionate about, that you really care about, that really affects you and people that you care about, people that you empathize with, and start having those tough conversations.
Do you think that when all the votes are tallied, that we will see, regardless of party, but do you think that we will see this year, this election cycle, a record-setting number of young people out voting?
I think so. I would hope so. We would hope the better angels of our nature would mobilize young people to vote in this election, because we're facing an existential threat to our democracy.
Elaborate on that.
In terms of suppressions of free speech, and in terms of increasing hate crimes, in terms of more and more hateful rhetoric that's being used by the executive branch. I think this is a turning point, or this should be a turning point. This should be an inflection point in kind of saving the soul of the American democracy.
All righty. We'll leave it at that. Joel Scurria, thank you so much for your time. Again, Mr. Scurria, president of Young Democrats of Utah, talking to us about the issues that are facing young folks, the issues that are motivating those who choose to vote to either fill out their mail-in ballot or make their way to polling places this election cycle. Again, Joel, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. And when we return, we're going to hop on over to the other side of the aisle and speak with the chairman of Utah Young Republicans, Abe Vasquez, will be my guest after the break here on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio. Do you believe Election Day is already here? Honestly, 2016, Election Day 2016 seems like just a moment ago, right? So much has happened. And it would make your head spin if we were to rattle off some of the headlines that we have reported on over the past 4 years during President Trump's first term. It's just fascinating. Our whole concept of time is warped due to the pace at which we have been covering stories. And then, of course, you throw 2020 into the mix with the pandemic. It changes things all the more. Anyway, we have over the past little while here been discussing the youth vote. What are young voters up to this election cycle? Youth enthusiasm to vote and the likelihood of turning out is on track to hit record levels here in 2020. There was a study handled by the Institutes of Politics at the Harvard Kennedy School. It asked young voters about their expected behavior this year. Some of the results come back. 63% of respondents to this survey indicate that they definitely will be voting. Now, again, these young Americans are, these young voters are young people ages 18 to 29. 63% of them indicating that they will definitely be voting. That is compared to 47% during the same time in 2016. Now, on to the candidates. Since September, Biden's advantage has increased to 63% compared to Trump's 25%. That's among 18 to 29-year-olds most likely to vote. And more than half, 55% of young Democrats, young Democratic likely voters intend to vote by mail compared to less than one third of their Republican peers. Last detail from the Harvard Kennedy School survey, among all of the self-reported likely voters, about 37% of them plan to vote in person at a polling place and about half will vote by mail. Anyway, so that's a look at things nationally. A quick look at how things fare here in Utah or how they have fared in the past. The past presidential election, that, of course, of 2016, young people between 18 and 29 here in Utah, 520,000 of them, almost 521,000, more than half a million young people voted here in the state of Utah. That's 26.8% of voters in the state. And this last detail I'll point out, that puts Utah's behavior, at least as measured during the last presidential election cycle, higher than the national average, which is 21.6% for that same age group. Okay, those are the details. That's the groundwork. Now let's have a conversation. Abe Vasquez, chairman of the Utah Young Republicans, joins me on the line now. Abe, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for letting me talk with you.
No, of
course. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm pleased to be speaking with you. I'm anxious to dive into what you're observing as chairman of Young Republicans. Tell me, what are the concerns leading young voters to the polls this election, you think?
You know, one thing that we got to talk about is, you know, the how young voters are actually voting. And this is looking into the Republican side or Democrat side. They're voting Republican and Democrat. You know, Utah is, you know, the youngest state in the union, and we have about the average age of Utahns right now is 30 years old. So we have a lot of young people voting in this election, and we're expecting to make historic amounts as well. You know, and one of the views I was talking to people about was, you know, Republicans, we need to focus a lot more in concentrating our views towards younger people, how to get them out to vote for the Republican Party, how to engage the Republican Party with them as well, as we're losing them a little bit more and more. But as right now, we're looking into that, and we're trying to fight hard and trying to make sure people are registered to vote and getting them out to vote in this election. People are doing a lot of them, like since Utah's been doing vote by mail within the last 4 years now, there's been a lot of ease of people voting through mail, and that's what I've been seeing in our area.
Well, why do you think that is? You mentioned more young people voting Democratic. Why do you think that's the case?
I think Republicans have been focusing on, nationally at least, focusing on older generations, because those are the people that actually vote in our nation. But that's changing now. That trend is changing, where we have a lot of things on social media, a lot of truths going out, and a lot of people at, you know, Facebook, Twitter, they're pushing out people out to vote, to register to vote too. So we're going to start seeing that movement of younger Americans actually voting. And so the Republican Party, in my perspective, hasn't been doing enough on that nationally. Utah-wise, and on our organization, we've been pushing it out where we can have conversations with younger elected officials. So within this year, we have at least five or six young you know, Republicans running for state house seats. You know, there's Candace Perucci, there's Travis Campbell. Right. There's many more like them that are getting out there. And we want to activate the young voters saying, hey, these are people that look like you, so let's vote for them. And then we can continue bringing new Republicans to the House and to the Capitol.
Well, what are the top concerns for you this election, Abe?
For me, is this like statewide or nationally? Because there's many on both sides.
Give me a little of both.
Okay, so nationally, I'm a little bit concerned of our, you know, presidential election. I do agree with, you know, we have a good chance of losing the presidency, and it kind of makes me a little bit sad that can happen. You know, we can lose the Senate as well. I think on that perspective, that's going to make sure that, you know, the Republican Party actually views younger voters. You know, these are important voters too. Another thing that kind of makes me iffy about this election is, you know, mail-in voters. You know, although in Utah we do a good job on the mail-in voting, other states have never done this before. And so, you know, some states do look at Utah and look at their what they do, and they do a phenomenal job. But states like in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, or some of those states that haven't done that before, you know, that's a little bit concerning. You know, how fair is that? And, you know, election fraud, that can actually happen. And so we're seeing that out in the East area. And so that's one of the things I'm a little bit more concerned in.
And give me a little something you're tracking here at the state level.
At the state level, we're, you know, Salt Lake County is a big area where we want to continue working hard, you know, and we want to, you know, help out Trent Stagg's win. And so that's one of the biggest concerns as well. You know, we haven't had a debate between Trent Stagg and Jenny Wilson, and that's one of the biggest concerns we have as well. Like, you know, a candidate, we can't know exactly what she does or anything like that, and people are just going to vote straight ticket, you know, voting Democrat or Republican. We want to make sure that we have that availability for people to actually know the differences between the two candidates. As well, like, you know, other within this, we just want to make sure that young Republicans actually do vote Republican as well. We've been seeing some trends that a lot of young Republicans are actually a lot more moderate than the rest of the country as well. So we got to find a way to figure it out where they should be voting more Republican. And, you know, the Democrats have been doing a good job on, you know, getting the base active, getting them to vote for Democrats. And the Republican Party hasn't been that much eager to do that.
Abe Vasquez,
we're working on that.
Chairman of the Utah Young Republicans, Abe Vasquez. Sir, thank you so much for your time and your insight. I'm sure we'll be touching base with you in the days leading up to this election. Looking forward to your insight and your outlook.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we return, we'll be joined by Boyd Matheson. As you well know, he, the host of Inside Sources, also serves here in this newsroom as the opinion editor of the Deseret News. And if you've been following along at home, there are some changes coming to the Deseret News. He'll share those with us next and some of the reasoning behind them ahead on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.